for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast of 50 years of playing PlayStation and 10 plus years in that gamers media combined. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist. We can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. And if you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you want to watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturists. Now Max, you're not like clutching at your throat, you know, because of your, you know, clutch your pearls of shock or horror. You're an unwell man.
Correct.
What's going on?
Hadley got a chest infection about a week and a half ago. Took the antibiotics. Wife got it about 5 days ago, 6 days ago. I started being raspy and coughy about 2 days ago. And I'm just, you know, punching the amoxicillin tablets to see what happens.
Now, as your child has just started going to school, congratulations to her for prep. Is it a school-related infection?
No, she was sick before.
Nah, drats.
Before it started, yeah.
Because that does tend to happen. You do tend to get blasted by school. Same as daycare.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, she was sick every other week at kinder, so. Yeah.
Well, I hope you recover, man. It's not the best.
Oh, I'll be right.
But, like, it's such a weird... Like, I understand why you're sick, even though you didn't get sick in the last, like, 2 days, but... For those playing at home, here in Victoria, it has been a very interesting, like, I don't know, 2 days. So yesterday, at time of recording, was Sunday. It was 38 degrees throughout the day, and it was hot, and it was dry, and it was like swamp crutch gross. It was just disgusting. Then, out of fucking nowhere... It became like apocalyptic storm. Like it went immediate electrical storm. So there's a lot of like lightning, you know, that didn't touch the ground. It just kind of goes across the clouds. The rain, the wind, it was fucked up.
I went to the house in Melbourne that got struck by lightning and burnt down.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's crazy. Cause like where we were, like where we are in Belmont, like we're kind of up on,
In Taylor's Lakes.
Oof. And so, cause where we are in Belmont, in Victoria, you know, just dox myself. We're up on a hill, so we can kind of see the sky. You know, we can kind of see over like Belmont and the surrounding suburbs, and we can see straight down through to like. And this is really, you know, geolocation for like those that are in Victoria. But we can see straight through to like Moolat, right down sort of that way. It's clear as day, and I'm seeing this smoke, and I'm like, "There's a fire over there." Sure enough. Lightning set a small grass fire, and it was, and I could see it from my house. It was fucking weird. All I could see was the smoke, though. And then it decided to just bucket ass down again, and then I'm sure it put it out. It was fine. But like, what a roller coaster! And to make things worse, like last night, here we are at like 9 o'clock ish, just sort of watching the lightning from our bed. It's looking at the sky because once again, where I'm located. You look out the windows, we're not seeing houses, we're seeing skyline, and it was awesome. And then, because I live near like a main road and there's some shops there, I think one of the shops got pretty banged up in the rain and the storm, because then this like, you know, end of the world, you know, horseman of the apocalypse, purge siren just kicks in. So it's like rainy, it's windy, there's lightning and thunder, and the thunder is hitting at such an intensity, it's sounding like car explosions or like just giant explosions. It was a whole experience. It was crazy. But because it was, you know, outside, like it was dead, like my Street was dead still. So it was really eerie. It did feel like at any moment, you know, some of those big, like, three-legged War of the Worlds robots, alien ship thingies would just start wandering around, like, the streets of Geelong. But, yeah, it was crazy. Thankfully, no damage here at the house, except we did have one piece of pretty extreme damage. So, lived behind us is a primary school, and a branch from the really high gum tree snapped off. It's a, when I say branch, it's like a, you know, about as big as this table, I guess. Came out. Oh, actually, that, for context, about 1.5, 1.8 meters. It came off, landed in our veggie patch, fucked up our eggplants, like completely fucked them up. I understand in comparative to the lightning that wrecked that guy's house, pretty gnarly, you know, not as gnarly, but to us it was hard. How was your side of town? Because I think you got it worse.
Yeah, so all the major roads leading out of where I live were flooded.
That's not the first time you've been, like, waterlogged.
No, we're in a floodplain.
That's true.
The trees in our front yard almost got ripped out. Like, the wooden stakes had been ripped out of the ground.
Mm.
That was fun. On my drive to work last night, there was a tree down in the middle of the road. None of the traffic lights were working because, obviously, the power was out. Our power went out intermittently just long enough to fucking turn my computer and Wi-Fi off. Which was annoying because I was in the middle of a game of League of Legends, so I had to quickly fucking reset everything, get back on before it's like, you AFK, fucking 20-minute ban. It's like...
I had a similar thing. We had like... Because your area got like power out. Like from
No. Ours, yeah. Ours,
oh, yours didn't. You're different estate, different grid. So where my ex-wife and my son live, they were out for like hours, and James was really concerned and worried because it was quite a strong storm. But yeah, everything turned out to sort of be okay. But yeah, it was only a couple of hours that kicked back in. We lost power this morning. So 8:30, I start work at 9, and I currently work remotely. So I messaged my boss, being like, "Hey, here's a video of the storms that took place last night. Here's my notification from our distributor saying you have no power until like, I hope to be online soon." So, that was all right. But yeah, the storm was cool. It was a cool thing to experience. I felt like it's been a very long time since we felt like experienced such like a fuck off storm like that.
Well, it woke Ollie up, and he'd been asleep for about an hour before it kicked in.
He was not getting back to sleep.
I'm like, this motherfucker's not going to go back to sleep. This is his power nap. He's going to fucking party all night. And after it came down, I'm like, okay, here's your bunny. You're going back to bed. Put him back in his bed, and he went straight back to sleep. What a ledge.
Yeah, so I had a similar thing, but like I didn't wake up and wasn't given a bunny. But like when the temp dropped, I just opened up the entire house, like doors, windows, you name it. I was like, this is lovely. And then it started fucking raining sideways. So very quickly I had to shut all those doors again, shut all the windows. And then
I didn't bother opening anything up because it's going to be hot for the next 3 days. Well, I figured that it's supposed to be fucking 38 stormy for the rest of the day.
Yeah. I just wanted like some circulation because I personally, like one of my like sensory things is like stagnant heat, like no breeze, just still heat. I want to die. So like at least having the windows open and the doors open, just even if it's just breathing hot air through the house, it's movement. And like to me that like I can tolerate that. And then so shit, close all the windows. I kept some open because I wanted to hear the rain as we were sleeping. And then at like 2:30, I felt like a small cyclone kicked in, and like all my windows are fucking rattling, so I had to close them all up. And I'm rooted, absolutely knackered because of it. But it was a good experience. I thoroughly enjoyed it. But like I'll touch upon this now. I can't talk about it too much, but I know you're excited by the news, Max. So I resigned from my job today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I did. It was awesome. Not in like, because I do have a new job lined up. I can't discuss it just yet. But I do have a new job.
So not only do you tell them that you can't work this morning because your power's out, but you're also conveniently resigning.
Yeah, it did feel a bit gross this morning. Let me tell you, it wasn't an awesome experience. I was like, hey, just. But no, it worked out all right. It was a lovely chat. So yeah, new stuff. No more working at the Manshake for me. I'll still use it because I'm still an advocate for the product, but personally. But yeah, my time there is done. Like I had my 18 months as a full-time content creator, and I'm very grateful for that opportunity, and I'm stoked that I did it, because very few people can say they get to be a full-time content creator. Now, I did it on somebody else's dime, which makes it even better again. But there are challenges with that, of course, because I always dreamed that I've always dreamt and hoped that one day I could achieve that and become a full-time content creator. But when it's your own brand, it's your own stuff, it's different. But when it's somebody else's, it's fun, but it's less fun. Like, it becomes very corporate very quickly, and that's kind of us. But look, I thoroughly enjoyed my time there. I'm looking forward to my next role. I'll probably be able to talk about it next week. It's exciting. I'm getting out and about again. I get to leave my house again, Max, which is fucking exciting, which I really, really enjoy.
Overrated.
Hey, you say that, but like, I'm sure I'll get like real mad about it almost immediately. But yeah, working from home for 18 months, and I didn't do it through COVID. I was working in support services at the time, so I was an essential worker. I just kept going. So like, to properly have it here, but without the restraint of, you know, I was able to leave my house, but I couldn't, because I was with the whole thing. So I'm glad that's transitioned over. But there are some things that, you know, I'm going to miss working from home. And that is, like, before I start my shift, I wander down, I play some PlayStation, and then, you know, I'll be, you know, on my lunch break, I will just go and play PlayStation. After work, play PlayStation. Sometimes during work, play PlayStation. So let's talk about, Max, let's get into the session we call What Have We Been Playing? Actually, it doesn't have a name. This is what we've been playing. And a game that I've been playing, not entirely while I've been working, but a bit of it, certainly in the other times, and almost any time I can sit down and do it, is Kingdom Come Deliverance. Now, two, I should say. So thank you to the team over at PlayOn Australia, PlayOn ANZ, for providing Max and I a review code that's been allowing us to play this game for the better part of a month.
Yeah.
And it has been, well, I'm going to just bury the lead. The game's fucking awesome. It's so good. Now, I want to do what we do every time. Max, what's the premise of this game? Give us the beats and then we'll go into it. Oh,
Jesus. Okay. Well,
see, because I have a bad memory. I forget like the little intricate details. This is where you come in handy, because you're better at this. And I'm also saying this so you can kill time and open the dock.
I don't think the dock's helpful in this.
Well, even if you, yeah. All right. Well, in that case, let's just go straight and simple. What's the game?
So Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 is essentially the follow-on from number one. You are continuing your role as playing Henry, the blacksmith's son, and you have been tasked to. Essentially, you're trying to. There's this warring factions in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. There are two kings who are essentially trying to fight for power. You are the bodyguard to Sir Hans Capon, and you have been tasked to try and recruit members to who you believe should be the rightful king. And hilarity ensues.
And chaos ensues.
So
that we've touched upon this game. Excuse me, earlier in a previous episode, from a preview standpoint, we really couldn't, you know, talk about too much. It was more of those initial feelings. And so there's a particular story point in the world that's about 10 hours in, and we went, like, it's a wedding, right? We'll just call it the wedding. I am currently 35 hours into the game. I am yet to get to the wedding. Not because I can't. It's because I am so, so distracted and just in love with this world. Like, I understand that, you know, going on that main quest should open up more things for me. But essentially what started as me going, oh man, you know, like, spoilers, once again, you probably see it in the, if you watch the trailer or some any early gameplay, is, you know, you're hiking into this town, you go to see this this lord, and you guys, and your entire squad gets jacked up at this, you know, pondside night sleepy camp. That's the word I wanted. You and old Hans Capon escape. You have a scuffle. You split. And then you just got to, like, rebuild yourself in order to get to Lord Capon to deliver this message that you were going to do. knowing this was going to be like an arduous experience, I was like, I'm going to go and wander around. I'm going to go visit towns. I'm going to pick up quests. I'm going to build up who I am because it's an RPG, but it's a different kind of RPG in that you can't, like, you gain experience only specifically when you do those things. Like, you can't, like, you know, go in and spec your stats tree to, like, buff agility or, you know, or marksman with a bow and arrow, if you've never done it. You can go find a book and you can learn, but it's not the same.
It's a medieval life simulator.
Yeah, and which is exactly why I fucking love it so much. But like, yeah, I'm just spending so much time just living in the world, traveling from town to town, doing little quests, going and taking out poachers, finding a loot, you know, doing this, that, the other, going around. Like, I'm having a fucking blast. And like, my dude's like spec to the nines. He's looking schmick. He's got good armor that I've built and nicked and, you know, had a bunch of fun with. I've got weapons that I've crafted by hand with a blacksmith. It's fucking sick. But you, Max, now did you go and wander, or did you kind of spend more time in what we're supposed to be doing?
I wandered a little bit, but I kind of beelined it a little bit more than what you did.
Yes, because you've passed this the way.
So I'm about 55 hours in. I'm significantly past the wedding, but I don't think I'm anywhere near close to finishing the game.
No.
There is so much to do in the world, and almost every character is interactable. Mm-hmm. You can go and talk to them. They'll give you like hints and tips of what's available in the area to do. Some will give you odd jobs. You mentioned blacksmithing is just one of the things you can do. You can also study alchemy, so you can go picking herbs, crafting potions. You can then use those potions to poison entire taverns because you can break into their kitchens and pour poison into their food and all kinds of shenanigans. The way I'm playing is very stealthily. So my stealth stats are absolutely ludicrously high at the moment because all I do is sneak around, essentially. But there's so many different systems in place for combat, combos, stealth, survivalism, like
drinking is a tab in your stats.
Because it is a simulation game. Essentially, everything you do has a stat attached to it. Everything you do will increase or decrease certain things, even to the way of how you talk to people. Your reputation matters in the towns and in the lands. If you have a high reputation, you will get certain dialogue options and you can force people to kind of succumb to your
charm, authority.
So depending on how you play, you can tackle almost any task in a wide variety of ways. So, for instance, I'll avoid spoilers, but there's a time where you need to do a prison break and you need to save someone's life. And the ways I found that you could do that is, as you're a prisoner, they basically task you with helping around the prison yard to do odd jobs, whether it be like carrying grains of sack to the storage facility or helping the chef cook meals or helping the woodworker build the hanging station. And you're like, well, maybe I'll just not help him. He wants me to go and sharpen this axe for him so he can cut the wood and reinforce the rafters. Maybe I just won't sharpen the axe. Maybe that axe is now my axe and he can't build.
And I'm going to hit him with said axe.
And he can't build the scaffolding to hang said person that I'm trying to save. Or the chef's sick and you need to find a recipe to heal him. So you convince him that you're a scholar and you know how to make potions. You just need to find the right ingredients. So he gives you access to the castle's interior. So you can go and find the recipe that you need to cure the chef and then he will set you free as a like a thank you. You can try and convince the priest to that you guys are actually nobles and you cannot be sentenced to death without the king's orders, not just the local nobles. There were so many different ways to tackle any individual problem that there were times where you can't, where I found that I was like, what should I do? There's so many options to me, and I kind of had that problem of picking one and sticking with it. And the game is both the most rewarding and most frustrating thing I've played in a very long time. The checkpoint system is horrendously unforgiving.
But like, it's unforgiving in that you either can save by a potion that you make, or you can scum it with a save and exit. But the if you drink the potion, it will give you multiple save slots. However, the save and exit is only one. So if you use if you scum it with save exit, you only get one slot and you can't fuck with it.
It will auto save during
end of when you sleep or key, end of a mission. Yeah, key missions.
Yeah, key story moments will save like a mid checkpoint type thing. But yeah, for the most part, there were times where I had to go back like three or four saves to restart complete areas because I got to a point where I was stuck or couldn't progress further because the choices that I had made had led me to a particular outcome that
you
was
weren't quite so, skilled to, yeah.
So unfavorable that there was no way I was ever getting myself out of it. So yeah, like you mentioned, that the skill tree is absolutely ludicrously large from simple stats of like speechcraft and
strength,
vitality, all of that stuff. So, you know, if you just run around heaps, you get more stamina. If you constantly pick up and carry things, you get stronger. If you wear too much armor and you over-encumber yourself, you will get stronger and your carry weight, your carry capacity increases. If you go hunting for creatures, you become better at woodcrafting and survivability. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you can harvest more meat. You're better at skinning the creatures so the pelts aren't damaged when you try and sell them. The more you sell items, the better you become at haggling, and you can get better prices for those things. The more you steal things, your stealth increases, and you can trick people into thinking that they're buying goods that aren't stolen. You can fence things properly. The game is so deep and intricate, you kind of get to play, although you are playing a character in this game, you kind of do get to play it however you want to play it.
Well, let's touch upon that, right? Like in terms of the gameplay within the story, right? So you play as Henry, the son of the blacksmith, the same character from the first. Now the we touched upon this in the preview, but the way this second game sets up the story in the world is immediately more intriguing. They set up who Hans is, who you are, what you're there to do, and it's all done. It is the opening couple hours is quite cinematic heavy, but I felt that was a lot more engaging than Kingdom Come Deliverance 1. Like, they threw you in there in like a, hey, just go in and do it, which is what they do here after they set it up. They build the foundation of who you are, what you're doing, why you're here, this is how it all works, and then once you get like, you know, caught, thrown into the stocks, set free, the game goes, here you go, it's all yours now. And the beauty of that is, apart from sort of key, like especially from you and me, who we touched upon Kingdom Come Deliverance, because it didn't hook us the same way, we kind of left it. So Henry as a character to both of us is a pretty empty vessel, which is allowing us to take it in different ways. Where, as you mentioned, you're playing quite stealthy. I am playing like as how I see Henry, which he was the protector of Hans. So he's a knight, right? Like he's a warrior. So for me, he's always in armor. He's rocking a sword. He's very charismatic. He talks his way out of a scenario rather than going in sword swinging. But if sword starts swinging, he can certainly do it. But yeah, like I'm very honorable. Like I don't fuck over people. I keep make sure my reputation's good. Like I don't kill unless I have to. Like I'm just nice. This is kind of how I play him because that's how I feel Henry is. Now, very similar to when you and I were playing, like, The Quarry as an example. I know it's a weird example, but we're going there. Is that I play as how the characters feel, where you play like a director and how you would like to see the game, like, the direction of the story go. Did you have that here as well?
So, for the most part, I might be a thieving son of a bitch. Henry still is... a very honorable person in my world. My reputation is still very high, mainly because I don't get caught stealing things very often.
Yeah.
I do, in combat, I play it smart. I will, like, just kill the guy who's just hacking up a teammate. I'll just go insta-gib him from behind. Just do those stealth takedowns. That's fine. But I will also show no mercy to those who have wronged me.
Yes. Yep.
So... I will take them out no matter which way. Now, there is a particular point, again, I won't spoil or name anything, but you get an option of, it is essentially a boss fight, for lack of a better term. And you are given the option of, by any means necessary, or an honorable duel. And this person, this individual, had... wronged me so badly that I'm like, whatever it takes.
Fuck him in his
face. Like, yeah. Like, whatever it takes. Like, he'd just be, like, finished torturing me for information. I was literally on a rack. He was, like, branding me with hot
iron. Oh, yeah, no, I would shank him.
This guy is getting fucked up.
I'll give him an honorable fight, but I'll kill him.
Whatever it takes. I stabbed him in the neck and pushed him out of the window.
Yeah, that'll do it. Yeah, I'll do it.
Like, whatever it takes. Like, I just do not care about this person.
So,
and
like,
then,
okay,
and then there's a dialogue after that, and you're asked, like, you know, how do you feel knowing you've done what you've done? He's like, look, I know that I am an honorable person, and even though I sunk to his level, I don't feel bad about it.
Nice.
I'm okay with my choices. I'm like, yeah, that's right. You'd be good with those.
Yeah. No, I quite... Let's touch upon... Like, I know I'm just kind of tangenting, but, like, I want to make sure we hit all these beats and it'll all come together, hopefully, in the end. One thing you mentioned there was combat. So, the combat in this game, because it is kind of simmy, it's very stamina-heavy, which is important, but it's also very reminiscent of For Honor. The old Ubisoft game, you know, where you would have to, where you positioned your sword or your whatever you were using is how that strike would go. So you have to kind of counter, to, you know, if they're swiping, you know, to the left, you've got to swipe to the right to block it, sort of thing. Is what they're going for. If you've, you know, you've blocked their left swing, you block it, you swing with the right because their shoulders across their body, sort of thing. Like, you've got to, like, read the body language, follow that process. And as you said, like, when you first start, like, the game kicked my shit in all the time, constantly, because I just wasn't nailing it. And then once I start sussing it out, and I get it, and I start working on that parry system, and then I go and I learn some extra shit from this guy. I'm starting to suss it out, and like anyone can come fight me, and I've got it. I got it done. They're out of here. No chance. I've become like that seasoned fighter because, as you mentioned, the more you do it, the better you get, the stronger you are. So you get better at blocking, you get better at striking, and then you learn these little. I think they're called like. Well, the Master Strike was one thing, but there's another thing where, you know, when there's a, in the middle, like where your reticle is, you know, when someone goes to attack you, there's a green shield. You can use that to block. And then immediately after there is, was it, sorry?
A riposte.
Thank you. And then there is like a crossed blue swords, which indicates you can now return with a counter, right? Mm. So a lot of the time is I'll strike once, I'll block, they'll get ready, block, strike, block. So there's a lot of like rallying with when I get into these fights, and then delegating between people and sort of positioning it that way, and like kind of, you know, backstepping, weeding one away from the pack a little bit, get what I needed done, or kind of go doom, you know, sort of not like John Wick style, but once I suss that out, or even when they go to. For me, I can just like sneak up and stab him in under the jaw or something with the tip of my sword, just rather than having to go for a strike, what stab, And it's kind of like these little extra moves that I've learnt because I've focused quite heavily on learning swords. And as you mentioned, like, it is the most frustrating yet the most rewarding thing you can experience because we are playing like a sim light, and we haven't touched upon the simmy stuff yet. Every encounter that you get in literally feels like life and death. Because if you get cut and you start bleeding and you don't have bandages, you are going to bleed out. You don't have a helmet, your head is going to get caved in and you're going to like not recover. Like, it's rough and it's fun. But yeah, once you suss it out, like, it's rad. It's so good. Like, obviously you're playing a stealthy character, you're less in direct combat. So, but how have you found your combat experience?
My combat skills are hilarious. So I didn't bother going and learning the combos.
Yeah.
I just parry and riposte. Yeah. I don't ever attack first. I taunt the enemies into attacking me. Because when you're in a fight, you can hit L1 and you can choose to surrender, you can battle cry, or you can taunt them. So I taunt a lot of people into attacking me, and then I kind of just parry stab them. So to the point where everything's a numbers game in this game. So when I fight with a single-handed weapon and have nothing in my offhand, my sword craft is worth 5 extra points.
Ooh. Yeah, I tried to stack in that, but yeah.
When I am facing enemies in greater numbers than myself, my sword craft is worth 5 extra points. So just by being unarmed and outnumbered, my sword craft goes from like level 6 to like 16.
Yeah, and then back I come to up the corner and just like go nuts.
And I just go nuts. But I also I got a bow really early and learned a lot of archery stuff. So I tend to pick my foes off from a distance. When I can't do that, I have a fucking hand cannon at the moment. I have a pistol.
What?
And if people charge me, I just fucking blast them in the face with my pistol. Now, granted, if I miss, it takes 25 seconds to reload, the son of a bitch.
Yeah.
So it's a one and done dealio. I kind of just, if I miss, I just quickly whip my sword out.
Because that's the thing. I'm in a similar spot. No
reloading that.
Like, I got a crossbow early on, and like, it's a game. Like, it's a sim game. Like, you literally load it and you've got to like crank that motherfucker back to like hook it. So it takes a long time. And granted, because I wasn't playing it with a crossbow, my shots were garbage. So I'm like, I'm just going to give up. And like, I predominantly use my bow to shoot nests out of trees to see what cool little trinkets are in the nest. It's the only thing I use my bow for, really. Because by the time I get it and it shakes all up the joint, I'm like, yeah, whatever.
See, after you use it a few times, one of the first skills you can get is like, you don't have the fucking shakes like you're coming off something cold turkey.
Well, I imagine I probably have that in there if I, you know, because I've been shooting at the nests and stuff, because I don't look at that part of the skill tree because I'm not playing with a bow and arrow. Something I consider. So let's talk about, like, you know, as we mentioned at the start, like, I've spent more time just gallivanting than the world. How do you, Max, feel about, you know, this version of what, like, 1400s Bohemia?
Look, it's cool. Like you've said, there is so much to kind of do and get lost in, whether, you know, you're wanting to do hunting or scavenging or anything like that. The one thing is it takes fucking ages to travel anywhere. Now, there is a fast travel system in place. Like, once you've been to a town, you can always fast travel back to that town, which is good. When you're fast traveling, there is a chance that you will,
because it shows you like literally walking the path.
Yeah, it shows you walking the path. So there are times where that will be interrupted and it'll be like, hey, there is an encounter. This is the encounter. Would you like to attempt to just keep carrying on your way? And it'll give you a percentage chance of like what your
success,
what your success rate is, or you can, you know, stop and participate. So it could be as simple as like, you hear a scream in the distance. Do you want to stop and investigate, or do you want to just keep going? So for the most part, I don't fast travel. I enjoy going, like, getting on my horse, going for the ride, getting that sweet XP just for being on my horse and giving it pats and getting his skill up and all of that shenanigans. The world itself looks good. I mean, obviously we played a very early version, so there were some crazy texture pop-ins.
Yeah, we'll touch on some of the issues at the back end of this, because there are some.
But for the most part, traveling from point to point is fun. Sometimes you just get randomly jacked by bandits. Sometimes you can save damsels in distress. Sometimes you just get fucking jacked by like some random rabid dog in the woods.
Yeah, or you'll find a body and you're like, what's this? And you nick it and you got some fancy pants clothes to take to said wedding. This guy.
Yeah. So there's always something to do. Now, obviously, because this is a sim game, traveling deteriorates all of your stats. Your nourishment goes down. If your nourishment's too low, your stamina recovery is non-existent. Your strength goes into the negatives. You can't. You're not as strong as you are because you are not well fed.
Or you're sleepy.
You have to eat. You have to drink. You're sleepy. Game's really gnarly when you're sleepy. It starts fading to black and you can't see properly. If you get too drunk, there's fucking screen shakes. There's so much stuff that you have to like constantly.
Oh, your clothes get dirty, or if you're covered in blood from like fighting wolves or other people, you will be that will be observable to the villagers or the people that you see. So there is literally a buff or a debuff in this case called Reiki, which means you stink, people are noticing. So your conspicuousness is like a key stat.
Which makes stealthing harder. But yeah, your charisma goes down. And because your charisma goes down, you can't charm people as well. Yeah. No matter how good your speechcraft is, you're a stinky boy. People don't want to do things for stinky
And, like,
boys.
You can't, like, because it's medieval time, or, you know, that Middle Ages sort of time, is, like, there's no running water. Like, there are troughs everywhere that you can kind of wash your face in. But, you know, there are certain key locations where you can duck, jump in a river and wash your clothes. But there's bathhouses that'll give you a good scrubbing. You know, and stuff like that. Oh, yeah, they will. you know, and things like that. And as someone who, like, I love sim games, it's well known on, like, through this channel and the years of which we've been making content, how much I adore sim content. But I, especially, like, sim light content or there's another term for it. It's like, it's life sims, I guess, is kind of the more, like, they're not like 100% replications of the outside world. They are like somewhere in the middle ground. So some, you know, like your gas station simulator, et cetera, like those ones where it's enough of the real experience, but not so real that it's painful because the real world is, you know, painful. I enjoy Kingdom Come for that. So the idea of within this world of like, hey, my horse is better on roads than it is on the field, so I probably should take the roads, you know, or it's raining or it's dark, I should, you know, because the day-night cycle's really weird, I guess, because they're in the, you know, northern hemisphere, like quite high, like the night's only like 6 hours, really, so it's like 9 at night in the game and it's fucking bright-ass daytime, which is interesting. And then
if it's nighttime and you're out and about and you don't have a torch on you, you're instantly sus.
Oh, also, anyone watching this, hold down on the D-pad to get your torch. Max and I spent way too long trying to work out how to get a torch. I had one, I could fuck it, and I couldn't get it to do things. And then I was just holding buttons and I got it. Yeah, so like that part's really fun. You know, there is like that law, you know, law and order system, like as in, you know, they're very particular about reputation because obviously that's what it was back then. And because, you know, even if you calm someone, you go, hey, I'm a noble. They're like, fuck off. I have no, you have no way of proving that you're a noble. Oh, yeah, sure, that's a good point. You know, so like, yeah, also all those sim things I'm really enjoying. Like, you know, making sure you wear this and you got to look after it because if it gets dirty for too long, it's going to be harder to clean, less effective, blah, 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 blah. Love that shit. Thoroughly love that shit. But like even my partner, like Phoebe, she is enjoying it as much as I am. Like very rarely can I get her to like sit and watch a game with me. Like I was able to get it to with like some big games like Horizon or Last of Us or Gone of War. But she's having a lot of fun just, you know, as I travel from town to town, seeing what there is. Because, you know, the beauty of the game is, you know, you hold X, you follow path, so the horse will just keep going forward, and you know that allows me to like look around and see what's going on, and like I end up going to this big manor, this big like castle on top of this hill. Pardon me, and you look out and you see this landscape of like rolling hills, and it's beautiful. I mean, it's beautiful. Like, we're playing on standard PS5s. Neither you or I have a PS5 Pro. In our documentation we received for the review, they're like, hey, we recommend playing it on Pro, mostly because performance reasons. Never really, once again, we'll talk problems a little bit later, but in terms of performance, like even exploring this wide open world, aside from when you die or even when you fast travel, there's no really loading screens. The loading screen is hidden in you physically traveling. There's no loads. It's pretty free. It's pretty cool. And I like when you go to places and it's just, I don't know, I just fucking love it. The world is so good. I find myself weirdly caring about like random NPCs that I've worked with for a little while. There's a huntsman that I found up on the east side, and like I helped him get rid of some poachers, and I've worked with his family, and he's all like super kind to me, and he's like, hey man, you've helped me out so much. If you ever need to, we have a bed in the barn. It's all yours, man. We really appreciate your help. So like when you're knackered from traveling and you're like, because not everyone, like if you try to sleep somewhere, someone will yell at you, right? Unless there's camps by the roadside as you travel, but they're all exposed and you can just get like fucking shanked in your sleep or whatever. So be able to have that as an option is really, really cool. Yeah, I don't know. It's fucking, I dig it. Dig it so much. But before we start touching upon any of the, I guess, slightly more negative things, Max, are there any other things you'd like to praise about the game?
Any other that we haven't already touched on? No, I think we've hit most of the beats pretty well. The game is a significant improvement on the first one.
It's astoundingly better than the first, like astoundingly. All right. So let's touch upon some of the problems that we've had, and then we'll wrap this bad boy up. So now, granted, as we disclosed, we were provided this game a month out from release. There is a big day one patch. We presume many of them are being resolved as of that patch. But Max, what were some of the things that you faced?
Texture popping was a big one. Again, not more of an inconvenience than anything. So you'd get like a cutscene starting and there was one point that my character was just naked in a cutscene and then all his clothes just magically appeared. The biggest one that I had that kind of like broke my save, I had to like restart, was I was hiding from some guards and I was crouched in the corner of an attic, and then all of a sudden I just walked backwards through the wall onto the roof of the building and got stuck.
Yeah.
I couldn't get back inside. And because falling damage is a real thing in this game. Other than that, it was just this light every once in a while. The texture was off or the lighting would randomly fucking flash.
Yeah.
But I had no hard crashes. I had nothing like severely game breaking. And like in the documentation we got there, they're like, hey, here are some issues that we've found. Just a heads up, I didn't get any of those problems. So
like, I'm in a similar space. So I had one issue where I got stuck in some geometry and then it just did the whole brrr and then propelled me. And as you said, because fall damage is a thing, I got rocketed off this cliff and then just died. But like, outside of that, there's a couple of little issues that I've experienced. Pop-ins was a big one. But that's normally when I'm like fast traveling somewhere and it's just got to spin up again. Once, like, if I don't fast travel, very rarely do I see any pop-in. So the game does tend to have a really good handle on, at least from a RAM or a cache perspective, where it kind of remembers everything as you're experiencing it, which is really helpful. One thing that was very fascinating is that when I'd pause the game, I'd get a lot of like artifacting at the bottom of the screen, or like little black squares would come and go. In the inventory menu or the player stats menu, would always sometimes get this weird fuzz behind the numbers. It's just almost like static behind the image. Lighting had been an issue sometimes, in that I'll be having a conversation and it'll cut away from Henry and it's like fine, and it'll cut to me and it's like I'm standing, like I'm a fucking angel, and it's just, and it's just the brightest thing in the world. Cut back to the person, back to Henry, and it's fine. I did have some, I guess I'll call it staging, for lack of a better, or blocking, which is a more of a film term, is that, you know, where two individuals are talking. Like there was once where, for whatever reason, it assumed the blocking was in a different spot. So like it's backwards and forwardsing as if a discussion was there, but no one was there because we were off down, we were like down the stairs a little bit. So that was intriguing. Another one was I was having a conversation, but my back was turned the entire time and they were talking to my shield. Minimal stuff. A couple of things was more of, and I understand with an RPG of this scale, like there are some inconsistencies when it comes to dialogue or how a character will engage with you, in that like there's early on you meet a woman who owns a bar that you get into a scuffle at, and she's really kind to you like throughout, and then you'd be like, hey, you're like, you know, you're really nice, like do you mind if I stay here tonight? She's like, fuck you. Like immediately just turns, and like her accent changes. Like there's an inconsistency in how that tone is delivered to you. Like I understand from a reputational standpoint, her response would be less favorable because you've just got a big, you know, whatever, right? You're building on that. And I, now that I've repaired the relationship, done some stuff for her, we're cool. But like the sharpness in that turn, it is sometimes like these characters have like you know, to use an outdated term, like multiple personalities. Is that they'll be like, oh, you know, oh, it's so lovely, Henry. I really appreciate your help. Do you mind if I stay here? Fuck you, you vermin. Get out of here. I don't want to see you again.
I mean, that was probably a bad example because I totally felt where she was coming from.
Like, oh, no. I use that. Like, that's the most approximate. Like, I've seen it a couple different times.
Yeah. I was going to say, because it started with her going, what can I get you to eat? And then you're like, I'm going to have this, and this, but I have no money. And she's like, well, you're ordering so much then, you can work it off.
Oh, no, I'm talking after this encounter, by the way.
And then you're like, let me stay. But
But even down the line, right, like I've helped somebody out, it should put me in good, like a reasonable faith. So like, rather than just being like, hey man, nah, look, I'm sorry. They just go, it goes sharp. It's like the default answer is yes or no, which makes sense. And it's like, are you friendly? Are you not? Like, are we, you know, and it, I did find that a bit jarring sometimes. So I'm working with this blacksmith. Was it Radovan? Radovan the blacksmith.
Yeah.
And like you're becoming his little apprentice for a little bit. But whenever you walk up to him, he's like, who the fuck are you? Why are you doing here? And you're like, hey man. He's like, oh, hey man. Or if you happen to be like, open the trade and have a see when you're like, oh yeah, I'm not going to buy anything. And he's like, well, don't buy anything then. I'm like, are we fucking friends or not, mate?
Every trader gets so angry if you open his wares and then you don't buy anything.
Yeah.
You can get reputation losses from saying that you're going to purchase something and then not doing it.
Yeah. Like that, I understand that's frustrating. But I mean, like, once again, that strong shift. Look, once again, in the grand scheme of this game where I've had, similar to yourself, no hard crashes, no glitching, no, like, getting stuck in terrain apart from that once, everything runs smoothly, no one just disappears on me, like, I've not walked into invisible walls, or, like, it has been an incredibly smooth and lovely experience, but there are some things, especially when you're playing in a sim-related, like, a sim-like experience. If there's anything that can pull you out from that simulation, because I do get engrossed in this game, like engrossed deeply. It's incredible. Mm. So those little things do tend to stand out more. It's interesting. I find like the world like a lot more detailed than like some of the individuals. Like walking, you know, like I'm in the forest and it's like, it looks realistic. The beautiful ray tracing with those god rays. It's stunning. It's magical. And then I talk to someone. He's like, eyes are half shut. I'm like, oh, okay, rad. But no, like I said, for like Warhorse have nailed it. But was there any other things you'd like to cover, or you want to just bring this bad boy home?
No, I think between us we covered.
Excellent. All right, well, Max. Well, then closing statements. What's your, if you were to wrap up your thought? Now I'm personally gonna keep playing this game. I'm not done with it yet. Like,
yeah,
where are you with it? Wrap up your current, not complete thoughts. As we, you know, we'll give it a month, but it's a ripper RPG, so it's near impossible to like. Probably could finish at the time, but we're distractible.
Look, I enjoyed it thoroughly more than I enjoyed the first game. They've built upon all of their systems and kind of cranked them up to 11. It feels great. It looks great. It plays great. What a fantastic way to start our year.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it is an exceptionally well designed, well thought out, and playable game.
Absolutely.
And the fact that they've already shown us a roadmap of what's to come.
Yes, please.
Real good. It looks real good. Yeah, and just the fact that you can kind of play it however you want to play it. It's not you're not being shoehorned into a corridor. Essentially, you can kind of do what you want to do, play how you want to play, explore how you want to explore. It's very, very good.
And I completely agree with you. I do believe that this is by far one of the best games I've experienced in a long time, mostly from a gameplay experience, right? So as you know, I'm very much a big story-driven guy. I love the characters. I love the, you know, that's the stuff that I care about. But which is ironic because I love sim games and sim games don't have stories. They're all about the gameplay. I like particular gameplay. And Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 tickled my brain in like the best possible way. It hit all the things that I love in terms of like small repeatable tasks that are lovely. And for someone who is firmly not a fan of like fantasy swords and shield shit, because I feel it's been done forever, having this be a more grounded experience in that, like, there are tonics and potions, but they're not like mana potion and healing potion. They are like, you know, concoctions, little things, like, you know, using the herbs and things you find. And they're not like, you know, shit herbs. There's like, you know, dandelion and sage. And like, because it is grounded in that reality, it's exact, like, it's why I love it. Like, there's no dragons coming out of nowhere. There's no goblins down the hill. It's people playing again. You know, it's a person living in a world, a lived in world full of people. And I enjoy the character that I'm playing. I love the freedom at which I can deliver Henry, how I see Henry. And also I can play the world however I choose. Now, granted, for those of you playing at home, like, how you wish to see our review is up to you, in that, as I mentioned, near 40 hours playing this title, and I'm yet to like proceed past the preview point from our preview coverage, because I am so deeply like in love with this world that I'm thinking about where can I go to find this and that and do this. And hang on. Even something as simple as there was a mission where I was required to find Comfrey, which is a flower. The game used some real world. Like, I'm like, why can't I seem to find Comfrey anywhere? So I Googled, because once again, pre-release, there's no map to tell me where Comfrey is. So I was like, well, I Googled it, and it said Comfrey is found like near riverbeds, near water, blah, 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 blah. Guess what, Max? That's where they are.
Mm-hmm.
Like that little sprinkle of the real world once again, love it. So that's, you know, things like that. I really enjoy the gameplay in terms of like the combat, from an experience of you will have to learn it, you will fuck it up a bunch of times, but once you nail it, it's incredible. I enjoy talking with the world and hearing about their experiences. I love that a feature that normally frustrates me to no end in a game, where it goes, here's what you need to do. Do it however you need. An example is I needed to speak to an individual to get a hold of a sword. How you and I did it, very, very differently. But we still delivered to the same outcome. And I was able to choose how I handled this scenario based on the character that I have created. There wasn't, here are two choices or here are three choices, and they're all kind of the same. They were very clearly different. I had to literally think out of the box. I had to break that standard AAA mentality of checkpoint, 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 follow checkpoint. Here's a side mission, maybe. Checkpoint, checkpoint. You know, this is like, it is a AA game, you know, not in like a negative way, but it is so much bigger and larger. I would be pushing it into that like full-blown big fucking blockbuster game space. Every minute has been enjoyable for not just myself, but by my partner, who normally doesn't really engage in the games that I play. That in of itself is a true, you know, encapsulation of what why this game is brilliant. If you are after a role-playing experience that, yeah, as I said, is grounded in that real world, isn't full of like wizards and magic and shit, this is absolutely the game. Like, I remember when Kingdom Come Deliverance 1 came out. I was like, oh, that sounds intriguing, but I also probably, I think I'll hate it. I couldn't be any more wrong. Like, when we got received the email from PlayOn, like, hey, do you want to do some preview and review coverage for this? I was like, yeah, sure, why not? Little did I realize that I can pretty say with confidence, like, looking at the slate of what's come, of what we know is coming in 2025, there is no doubt that this is going to be in my game of the year list, if not game of the year. Like, unless Death Stranding 2 later in the year just blows us out, or like GTA 6 does come out this year. But even then, like, they are both very different experiences to what Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 is. And once again, rarely, rarely am I just engulfed in a world like this. It just doesn't happen. My ADHD just does not let me. But all the little machinations, all the little, you know, bits and this and the accoutrements and other various words that explains intricacies, it's front to back brilliant. And all the little gripes that we have, I think a lot of them will be corrected in patches, or if you're playing on a strong PC or a PS5 Pro, and you may not even see any of the things that we've mentioned. But do it. I do believe the game is out on, is it today?
The fourth.
So the day that this goes live, the day that this goes live, the game is available on your PlayStation, on your PC, it's even on Switch, which astounds me. Like, it's going to run like assholes on Switch, but it is available. If you want to go dive into a really, really cool RPG, I simply cannot recommend this game enough. And you don't even have to play the first. Just go in, enjoy it. Have a blast.
Yeah, I believe they posted a couple of hours ago a previously on video.
Which is all you need. And that just goes, this is Henry. This is what he's done. This is what he's seen. Keep going. It's amazing. But once again, yeah, big thank you to the team over at PlayOn Australia or PlayOn ANZ for kindly reaching out to us to see whether we'd be interested because goddamn am I glad that we did. It was absolutely amazing. Now, in terms of other games that we've been playing this week, there isn't any. Instead, let's get into the section we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation.
Light news week, thankfully.
Yeah, appreciate it.
So, in PlayStation news, I am the captain now. In a shakeup of the Sony hierarchy, PlayStation has ditched its dual CEO approach less than a year after it was introduced. Ex-Guerrilla Games Managing Director Herman Holtz was appointed co-CEO alongside Platform Business Group leader Hideaki Nishino following the departure of Jim Ryan. The pair's tenure officially started on the 1st of June 2024. However, the run is now over, as Nishino will now take sole CEO control of Sony Interactive Entertainment, the Sony business subsidiary which contains PlayStation. Quote, "I am truly honored to take the helm at Sony Interactive Entertainment," Nishino said in a press release. "Where technology and creativity are two of our biggest strengths, and as we continue to focus on developing experiences that deliver entertainment for everyone, we will continue to grow the PlayStation community in new ways, such as intellectual property expansion, while also delivering the best in technology in innovation. I want to thank Herman for his expertise and leadership as he continues his role as CEO Studio Business Group. I'm deeply grateful for the PlayStation community and their continued support, and I am very excited for what the future holds." So Herman is now just head of PlayStation Studios.
Which he was. So yeah, head of Worldwide Studio, which is what he was prior to the secondment, essentially.
So there was a few other shakeups as well, not quite as important. Important, but not in the games, for the game side of things. They got a new CFO, they got a new
makes sense because is it Nishino? How do you pronounce his name? Sorry, I'm just gonna have a quick Nishino. Where Nishino was formerly the CFO, so it makes sense that if he's going to properly transition into this role, replace that, makes sense.
But there's no replacement for the person moving into the CFO position at the moment.
Yeah,
so yeah, we'll see what happens. But
So it's fascinating that we're sitting here having this discussion after last week, where we had Ted Price stepping away from Insomniac Games, leading to three individuals heading up Insomniac in a three CEO capacity, which is even less common than a double CEO space. Now, Max, because like I'm opinionated, I'm probably going to talk for like 5 minutes on this, so I'll go to you first. The beauty of this of the co-CEO setup was that we had Holst, head of Worldwide Studios, software, right? Software is his skill set. Mm. Nishino, hardware. Did hardware win this battle?
I don't know if it was necessarily a won this battle. I believe they did an interview. I would have been last week, maybe the week before, and they were basically asked like, "What do your roles entail?" And they kind of went, well, I do this and he does that. And I think everyone just realized that it was dumb having them like be referred to as dual CEOs. They're like, one is clearly doing more than the other. Therefore, there needs to be a separation of church and state, or software and hardware in this case. So it makes sense. It was an odd choice. I found it to be an odd choice to begin with.
So looking at it from where we are now, right? Like we saw the dual CEO and it looked as if, once again, we're able to talk about it and look at it with the context of all the information we now have available. Looking at the games as a service setup and how that catastrophically failed leads us to believe that, yeah, Jim Ryan didn't simply just retire. It was very likely either you leave or we fire you. And you just happen to be here long enough that you could retire and it would be believable. So that is why I think there was a position of like, shit, we'll do two CEOs because Jim Ryan or, you know, the role requires these two things. We currently don't have an individual that can do both those things. Let's get one that can do one, that can do the other. Two sides of the same coin. Let's let them go do that. And then over that time, whether it be observing of their work and how they've engaged, maybe it's looking and they've got, okay, well, Nishino, you know, as due to his time as CFO, working in that more C-suite space, he's a better suit for the role. And, you know, Herman Holst, although brilliant as head of Worldwide Studios, like we, you know, Worldwide Studios are a big focus at the moment, especially with games as a service, or, you know, because there was a lot of contention and discussion around like, has Herman Holst been demoted? And the answer is absolutely yes. You know, he is, you know, not demoted, like his secondment wasn't, you know, supported, right? They never addressed it as a secondment, but it felt like a secondment. So essentially he just got renewed. He didn't get renewed and returned to his previous role. Like I know I've done secondment roles. I don't know whether you ever had, Max, but I know your partner's done in the past, and it is something you do it for a window of time. Sometimes it's known, sometimes it's unconfirmed. And then one day you'll just go back to your previous role for whatever reason. With that in mind, as I mentioned, like Herman Holst being so deeply involved with a lot of the challenges, including Concord, including all these lined up games that aren't happening. I'm not saying it's directly a penalty for those actions or those decisions, because I do believe a lot of those decisions are in the responsibility of Jim Ryan, not so much in Herman Holst, but I do, it wouldn't surprise me if a little bit of that decision is to line up with that. And I think it's also a greater, once again, it's a look at the down the line. Like we're not going to see what this means tomorrow. It'll be later. And looking at what the competition is doing with Xbox and Microsoft, they're currently playing a software game, making their hardware, you know, irrelevant, with there being no reason to buy a fucking Xbox anymore. I think there is a little bit of self-awareness in having Nishino in this role, as he is that hardware background. He can ensure that the PlayStation as a system is still supported, is still encouraged, weirdly in a market that may not have a competitor. So it is interesting. I am very curious on how it goes, But once again, I think the average consumer will never notice or really see any major difference or even know who the fuck these people are. So it's a really inside baseball thing. But not knowing, because the other challenge that we have is like Herman Hulse is a very front-facing man. Not in the same way that like a Gio Corsi or a Shuhei or a Sean Layden was back in the day. But we've seen him more, we know of him more than we do Nishino. So I do hope that we see that. You know, the person have stepped away from that, you know, spokespeople, like Day of the Past figureheads. But I think we'll see a lot more about him in the future as decisions are made, as he may come out and say some things, and hopefully he can hold a controller correctly would be ideal. Let me just do myself a quick timestamp. Bam. Because this is the next one. Leakers trade in credibility, Max, and are usually only as good as their last prediction. Considering veteran leakster, that is Nate the Hate, in a spectacularly public fashion and coming right down to the wire, correctly predicted the exact date of the Nintendo Switch reveal in January. So, as a result, we are all more open to listen to what he has to say. Doubling down on last month's proclamation that a state of play was on the way this February, he's also added that you should probably cancel any Valentine's Day plans you might have because Sony's next state of play will air sometime during Valentine's week. So, Valentine's Day, 14th of February, in that week.
Which is a Friday.
This clarification comes from a comment left by Nate, thanks to VGC, in response to a question about whether the supposed state of play would occur in early, mid, or late Feb. With a flair for the dramatic, the scribe certainly appreciates the industry insider replied with, "What does your heart tell you?" End quote. Confirming on our trusting calendar, next Monday is the 10th. This is all from Push Square, by the way. And Friday the 14th is St. Valentine's Day. Trying to determine the day of the week Sony prefers for events like this is generally something of a mug's game. September's state of play took place on a Tuesday, and May's dismal showing was on a Friday. December's PlayStation Showcase aired on a Thursday. I was going to say Thursday. For us, it airs a lot of the time it's a Thursday morning in the past, from recollection. It's normally a Friday morning. The challenge that I have with like state of play predictions is that I don't believe them until they happen.
And what are they going to show?
Yeah, like I don't care about them having one. Congratulations, but what's on it? What's in it? Like, I want a state of play. Obviously, do you want one?
I don't know. Depends on what we're going to get. If it's going to just be a third party state of play, no, not really.
What do you mean a developer direct isn't that? Like, that's not something you want to see, Max. Microsoft just did that.
It is if it's an in-house first party developer direct.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, true.
I don't want a third party. I don't want to know we know what most of the people are working on outside of PlayStation Studios. What are the people working on there? Give us something to look forward to. Give us something. Give us a reason for owning our exclusive console.
Well, I think the fact that we have exclusives is a reason to own it, because everything's coming to this console anyway. We are, like, little did I know that X amount of years ago, or 370 bajillion episodes ago, that we were essentially running a show about the only console. But that's a bold choice. But yeah, look, for me, I always go until they announce it, because was it last year or the year before where it felt like every 2 weeks there was state of play next week, heads up, state of play next week, and then it has never fucking happened, ever.
And then Sony's like, state of play tomorrow.
Yeah, and they go, state of play tomorrow, and everyone's like, haha, I called it. Like, yeah, excluding the 98 times you got it wrong beforehand. Nate the Hate, good track record. A dude that's popped up out of nowhere, really? And just happens to, like, nail stuff, so I'm very curious on where his background and involvement is, but
Uncle Nintendo.
Oh, he's Uncle Nintendo. Damn, I knew there was one. I knew someone would actually somewhere have that. But all right,
quick bits. Rumor: Xbox's Fable and Killer Instinct will join Forza Horizon 5 on PlayStation 5.
Oh, did we discuss that last week about Forza Horizon coming across?
No, because it was this week.
All right, well, let's touch upon that. What do you, Max?
Yay!
Yeah, fuck yeah! Isn't it awesome?
This is so good. I was so excited. I called my dad. I'm like, dude, you've got to get this.
Yeah. But what I love about it is, like, it wasn't like no one was port begging. No one has really been port begging for Microsoft. It just happens.
That was like, how does this stack up against Gran Turismo, though? Like, I'm like, you don't have to get licenses to drive other cars. I'm fucking in.
It's
like, great.
It's beautiful. It's arcadey, but not super arcadey. I love the Horizon series are just immaculate races. They're so good. I'm super, super keen. But that also, but like, if you want to talk about the three tent poles of like Microsoft, it's Forza, Gears, and Halo. And when one of those pillars has now been like quote unquote compromised, like what does that mean for like the other two tent poles? The answer is they're coming.
Things that aren't coming or sticking around. Multiverse of Season 5 will be its last update and the game will go offline after the end of that season.
For the second time. Now this guy, this like Multiverses did go offline last year? Where
like March till like the end of the year.
Yeah, so essentially that we released it into early access and then everyone played it like we played it and I was like, yeah, this is fine. It's kind of, it's shitty Smash Brothers. And then it went away and then it came back to a soft launch and no one noticed and or cared and now it's shutting down again. Do you think this is like a, do you think it's a representation of the game itself, Max, or like where we stand on like these Ready Player One cramming shit together that isn't Fortnite?
Warner Brothers are hemorrhaging money and this isn't doing enough to bring it in, so they're like, fuck it, we'll cut our losses.
That was the, yeah, hence the second part, right? Like, is this the game or is this indicative of something else? And seeing as Warner Brothers has been trying to, like, sell their games division for so fucking long, like, it makes sense that it's just crumbling under its own self.
And lastly, Far Cry.
Not lastly, I've got to sneak you in after you, brother.
Far Cry New Dawn has received a 60 FPS patch on PlayStation 5.
Isn't that lovely for a game that is a bajillion years old? Very good.
I thought it existed.
Me too. I was like, Far Cry New Dawn. Oh my God, I played that. That was awesome. Max, Patch and I played it because it was multiplayer, which was really, really fun. And it was kind of like what happened if the world of Far Cry 5 got hit by like a flood. It was sick.
Yeah.
But that's not the last one, Max. The last point within the quick bits, and it's not going to be a quick bit, I'm going to give it a bit of love. WWE 2K25 was announced last week as part of, you know, it was originally revealed or hinted at in the first Raw on Netflix at the beginning of January. However, last week, or in the time since we've last recorded, it has come out. The game is having three editions. It's got your standard edition, the Dead Man edition, which is emblazoned with the Undertaker, and then the Bloodline edition, which is focusing heavily on Roman Reigns and his family and the story that they have been telling over the last 5+ years as part of the Bloodline.
It's so that's also coming to a mobile device near you, thanks to Netflix games.
Boom. Once again, the timing with branding with Netflix. Like, it's been a long time since WWE games been like any sort of WWE like 2K game has been on a phone. They've never been really good, but like, sure, why not? I don't hate it. So there's a couple of things here that really interest me. Now, one, big wrestling fan, duh. Yeah, all of it interests me. But a couple extra things. The showcase mode focusing on the Bloodline is really, really cool. I know there's a lot of commentary around being like, you know, the Bloodline story is kind of still happening. Why would we want to experience it now? You know, normally most stories within wrestling last like 6 months, a year maybe. Like there's long-term storytelling, but they're always broken up. It's never one consistently long story where, you know, I said this has been 5 years of storytelling with Roman Reigns and the Bloodline. So while, you know, that's a big hunk of time. And I would, I'd love to play it in that. It'd be fantastic. They've brought a key feature to the game that is something that I've been a long time advocate for in wrestling at large, which is no gender / intergender wrestling. So previously, no, you were unable to have, you know, male versus female within the game. If you did, you'd have what's called a mixed tag. In that, you know, if you were to tag in your partner, say you're male, you tag in your female partner. The other team has to tag their male in as well. You weren't unable to square off as male, female. Now, as someone that like lives and works within the indie wrestling scene, intergender wrestling is just everywhere because it's a great way to, you can tell double the amount of stories. You know, there's so much character, so much you can do with it. it should be something that's part of WWE at large. However, I'm glad it's in this game. They've brought a different match type, which is what's called an underground match, which is something they tried to do when the third hour of Raw was a little bit rough on a viewing standpoint. Like, what if we make it edgy? So what they did is they had this back room this was during the pandemic era. They had a back room where they got a ring. They took the ropes off it. They had like a lumberjack style, so had a bunch of people around it, and they had to do like what's referred to you as like worked shoot fighting. So within wrestling, there's a term of a work, which is something that is fake or scripted that's part of kayfabe, and then shoot, which is real, the real world. So they wanted to have fights that were worked but looked like shoots, with the idea of, you know, properly tussling street fight, very blood sport energy. Didn't last long, but I like that it's a feature in this new one. Why not? That sounds dumb. A thing that I'm most excited about is, of course, my beloved GM mode. It is now online, which means even though I love my family of my friends, myself, my partner, my friends, we come together and we play GM in person. But it is nice that maybe we can have little offshoot ones where if we want to play it, and Craig's at his house and I'm here. He's like, yo, you want to play GM? Yeah, can we do a couple, rounds of GM? Big fan of that. Love that. Not a lot of information around the My Rise, which is the single player campaign, because there is, with the Royal Rumble this week, there was a lot of hands-on at the event, and there's a lot of preview coverage coming out of that, with a lot of that dropping on the 4th of Feb, I believe that's US time. So within the next couple of days, we'll have more information around WWE 2K25, which is exciting for me because I'm going to play the living shit out of it. And we know that. I'm going to talk about it for weeks and weeks and weeks. Max, get excited. I appreciate the noise gate took away your woo, but I did love your hand gestures. For those watching the video, you put some emphasis into that sky punch. So thank you. That was a good one. I like that. But look, that game's not coming out for a little while, Max. So let's get into the games that are coming out this week. On the 4th of February, we'll see two games. Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, which you should be going and playing right now, and Rogue Waters, both on PS5. Kingdom Come does not have a PS4 version? No, it does not. Number 6, because if I'm not done with enough sim games, Ambulance Life, a paramedic simulator, coming to PS5, which I did see on Twitter. Like, my Twitter algorithm's on point. Like, I've just been being fed nothing but this game. So good. Big Helmet Heroes on PS5. Luck Be a Landlord. Well, that sounds interesting. Bet you it's poo. PS5, PS4. Momodora, Moonlit Farewell on PS5. Moons of Darcelon, PS5, PS4. And Under Defeat on PS5, PS4. And then on 7th of February, Sugoro Quest, Dice Heroes on PS5 and PS4. Speaking of dice, we didn't even touch upon the dice game within Kingdom Come Deliverance 2.
Yeah, it's a fucking frustrating minigame.
It can be frustrating. I haven't quite got my head around it. Like, at all. All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening and watching this. We much appreciate taking the time. And this is a longer episode because of the big Kingdom Come chance, but it is such a good game. Now, Max, let's wrap this. Normally, we kind of fuck ass around here. You're sick. It's late. Let's go.
Alrighty, everybody. This PlayStation Conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, or if you have any extra questions on Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, hit us up on our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. And if you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other sort of shit with our logos on it, which I haven't updated in so long. I don't even know why I still promote it anymore. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players.